and welcome to the Fielder Church podcast. My name is Becky, and I honestly have no business being here, but I also have my friend here, Zer, who's one of the pastors here and is also a good friend. And we're here just kind of talking about those crucial conversations, those crucial questions. We're here to wrestle about those things that you're thinking about but are kind of scared to ask. And so whether it's like, is the Bible actually trustworthy? Is God actually good? Or does prayer actually work? Is it effective? So we're diving through those conversations. We're kind of having this unabashed conversation, just talking about those things and really being able to really dive into the theology, the practicality of being a believer, and also just talking about our faith and talking about what the Lord has done in our lives. And so we're so glad that you're here. We hope that you'll continue going as we dive into this journey. But to start out, we really wanted to get on a more personal level to really talk about our specific stories and how we gave our life to Christ, how it's been as a believer since then, and really just what the Lord did in our stories and in our lives to start out. So today we're going to be starting out with that little personal level, and then we want you guys to just be a part of that and get to know us and how we got here and why we're here, since we have ministry callings but in just very different capacities. And so yeah, we're just here to talk about that. So earlier in January, we did a sermon series talking about being known and being in community and just really being able to be surrounded by that community. And so Zer and I are in some semblance of community here. And yeah, we just wanted to you guys to get to know us and also just remind you of the importance for you to be known, whether it's by us, if you're wanting to reach out on the Facebook group, or if you're in a campus close by or at a local church that's not associated with Fielder, please, like, we want you to be in community. But in the meantime, I just want to start off by talking about our stories, bro.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay, are you ready? Okay, so I'm going to start out with a few questions for Zer, and then he'll be asking me, and we'll kind of be going like that back and forth. So tell me about your life before Jesus.
I bet. Ooh, that's a loaded question. But let's just start with, man, I'm a Filipino American. Yep. I grew up in California to a mom and dad who had moved from the Philippines here when, I can't remember the year, it was like 91 or something. I was born in 94, but I was, grew up, my dad was the pastor of a small church, about 100 members, and that's all I really knew was church. Mm. You know, like, I grew up in an environment where my dad's the pastor, the person leading worship is like my cousin or my aunt, the lady that's in charge of the kitchen ministry is also my aunt. On Saturdays, the people that are cleaning up is probably
your
a family member.
Okay. Yeah. So y'all were running that church.
Yeah, we was definitely, yeah. So that's the environment that I grew up in. Mm. Growing up in church, like, I was everywhere. I was everywhere that my dad was. So if we had prayer on Wednesday,
you were there.
I was at prayer. If it's youth on Friday, I'm at youth. If it's, you know, house visitations, going visiting some members, I'm there. Sunday morning, I'm there. And my dad is the kind of pastor who, I mean, I guess a lot of pastors' kids can probably relate, but if there's an illustration,
I'm in it. Yes.
If he needs a special number right before the sermon, I'm in it. My brother's in it, you know? If he needs a worship leader, we're in it, you know? That's just like the environment that we grew up in. And so my identity really as a follower of Jesus, as what I had claimed, was my dad's faith. It's what my family does. Yeah. I was born into this.
Yeah.
And things started to change for me when middle school, high school, where I'm kind of growing into, you know,
puberty.
Yes. I'm sort of introduced into more wider friend circles.
Yeah.
And some of those circles were pretty bad, you know. Grew up in Vallejo, California, so Bay Area. And I mean, just any and everywhere. All right, hold on. Can we go? We get to go real?
Yeah, go real.
So, sixth grade, in middle school, and my first experience of just like being in a different environment. I was elementary, you know, it's kind of like you're sheltered.
Right.
Middle school, it's like
you're exposed.
Yeah. I want to gain the approval of my peers. Mm. I want to gain the approval of the people that are over me and things like that. And like my instructor, drumline. And that was like my very first introduction into like marijuana and drugs and even alcohol.
Yeah.
Sixth grade, you know,
that's
I was young.
And how old are you in sixth grade? Like freaking like 13 or something?
Yeah.
Little.
Something like that.
Wow. Okay.
12?
Like, yeah. Man,
young.
Young.
And so like my very first experience, actually, well, it was actually in my own home. I was playing Call of Duty up in the garage.
Yeah.
And my parents are working. I think they were like out on vacation or something in our own home. You know, there's a party going on. I'm ignorant to it all. I was just playing video games, Call of Duty. I go out, I'm hungry, I'm trying to eat a snack or something, and there's a party going on, and they handed me my own personal bottle of alcohol, and I'm just like, well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
You know? And that was like my first experience with alcohol. Seventh grade, my instructor, I'm trying to gain his approval, and my instructor in drumline, I'm trying to gain his approval, and one of the first things he does is hand me a blunt of marijuana. Mm. And in order to feel like I fit in, and it's like you're in middle school. I wanted to feel like I was cool. Like, oh man, like, I got to do this. And so I said, yes, you know, and just kept spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. So
and escalating.
Escalating for sure.
Yeah.
And just kind of led me down that path where really that just became my identity. And ultimately what happened was I had two lives that were in juxtaposition with one another where I needed to be good for my family, not to bring shame on my dad. And so I hid that life when I was at church and tried to be the good kid. Yeah. But then at school, I was just complete, utter rebellion. Yeah. Like I was just did whatever I could to gain approval of other people and did it in a way that was very unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, and it just kind of like, I think that's a really common place to be is like, I think growing up in the church, because I had a similar upbringing.
Yeah.
Like I'm Mexican American. So both of my parents are Mexican immigrants, but I was born here and grew up in a small Spanish speaking church. And my mom was like always involved in everything. And my mom and my dad divorced when I was really young. I think I was like 2 when they divorced. And my dad has been out of the picture for a long time. He went to jail for most of my life. And that's a whole different podcast that we'll have to do. But but like my dad's been out of the picture most of my life. And so I was raised by my mom, but she was like a pillar of the church. Like, you know, she was a single mom. So she was like, she had what appeared to be more time, even though she didn't. And like she didn't have a formal education, and so she worked a lot of hard labor jobs. And so my like perception of it is I was voluntold to do a lot of things because my mom was always responsible for things. She was like the worship leader, and so she was like, my bass player quit. Becky has free time. She can learn the bass. Like, or, you know, our youth leader needs some more volunteers. Becky can help. And so I was just like kind of voluntold to do a lot of things. And that was my perception of being a believer of Christ, like of doing a bunch of stuff to the point where number one, you didn't want to. And number two, it didn't matter if you were burnt out or not. Like that was just kind of my, like my perception of it was like believers are always fried. Like they're always tired. And if you're not busy to the point where you're like exhausted, then you're not being faithful enough. And so I think that's a super common element of like specifically growing up in the church. And to be clear, I don't think there's anything wrong with growing up in the church.
Sure.
I think where kind of we and cultures have a big impact on it too, you know, like Filipino culture, Mexican culture, like they have kind of that honor shame mentality while also really valuing acts of service. But I think where the issue is where it's becoming like a requirement to your salvation as opposed to an overflow of like the goodness of God in our lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, just kind of going outside of just our personal stories, like when I moved to Texas, that was 2014, I was genuinely shocked with this idea of cultural Christianity, of like I've been a Christian my whole life.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like, I never really understood that. You know, I'll get to it in here in a second. But like, yeah, really, when I gave my life to Jesus at 16, you know, there's a little bit more of my story leading up to that. But I knew that, hey, I wasn't a believer.
There's a difference.
There was a difference.
Yes, yes.
But coming here, that was like one of the hardest things for me to discern. I was at Southwestern. I was serving at a local church. And when I would hear these kids' stories, I'm like, I don't know if you're a believer or not, because the way you express your faith in Jesus is just, well, I've been a Christian my whole life.
Yeah, you know?
So interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I think I learned the term cultural Christianity like 2 years into me being a believer. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I was like, oh, shoot, that's what I was. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. And so it really is like, I feel like we throw the term a lot around, but it really is like a plague in the Christian church. Like, it really is like something that goes so under the radar. And unless you have like true, deep discipleship and accountability, like, it's so easy to look like a Christian your whole life. But if you were to die today, you wouldn't have the security of heaven. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have that unity of being known by the Father. And so it's just like, that's so hard.
That
it's so
hard,
like, prevalent in the church. But I kind of thought, we kind of talked a little bit about cultures, like perceiving religion differently too. But did you like look at God a specific way? Because I feel like sometimes like for me, like, and you know, we'll talk about this later, but like for me, I knew God existed. I never doubted he existed, but I hated his guts. Like, I hated him. And so like, Christianity and like going to church and serving in the church to me was all about serving the people, like my mom or, you know, my peers or the pastors that like I respected, as opposed to like serving God, because I just did not have a good view of him. So like, what, how did you perceive him? Like, what did you think of him?
Yeah, no, I think for me, it was because of the tension of like living two lives. Like, I knew that what I was doing at school was wrong. And every time I would go and fake it at church, I would feel guilty.
Bruh.
You know, I would feel shame.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, you know, the sinner's prayer.
Mm.
Oh, best believe, like, almost every time I'm like, because I know what I'm doing at school, I'm like, am I even saved? Like, do I really believe this God?
Yeah.
Like, let me just pray this prayer again so I can be certain. But I never was certain. I was always trying to gain, like, security, gain approval, gain something that I didn't have, because I never really placed my faith and trust in Jesus.
That's good. That's a good word. And I think, like, for me, it's, I grew up, and this is crazy, like, but I've come to terms with this recently, of like how I've always known I'm a broken sinner. Like, I've always, like, so I feel like that was the first foundational thing that I understood about myself, was like, you're broken, you're busted, like, you're messed up, like, you're wicked. Like, you know, I've always known that. And I feel like we hammer so hard on that. And it's important. Like, it's so important to know, to grasp that reality of like, we are broken. There's nothing good in us aside from the Father. Like, there's nothing good in us aside from Christ. And so, like, I think that is such an important thing. But I'm a big fan of Jackie Hill Perry, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I freaking love her so much. I love her. And she, her and her husband, they do a podcast called 30 Minutes with the Perrys, plug. But she is phenomenal. And she talks about whenever she evangelizes, she starts out with how it was in the beginning. Like, in the beginning, we were one with Christ. Like, we were living in fellowship and in unity with Christ. Like, we, that was the beginning. And then sin, and then our own sin, and we became broken. And so, like, I feel like for me, I just always thought, like, God wanted stuff for me. And I could never get to that point of, like, being, like, having his approval. Like, I felt like it was kind of like every time I did something, like, the bar was always raised. And I had no intention of being good, because, like, my mom, she was, like, she is, like, one of the greatest women of God I know. Like, she's a woman of prayer. She's a woman who reads scripture. Like, she's phenomenal. And in my mind, she was, like, my hero. Like, she, whereas now I view Christ as the epitome of perfection, she was my epitome of perfection for a long time. And I was like, she's an incredible believer, and God, you've given her a crap hand of cards. Like, she, her life has sucked, and like, and it's the worst. And so, like, in my mind, I was like, if she can't even get God's approval because our life is so terrible, what can I expect? Because I don't know him. I don't love him. I don't serve him like she does. I don't pray to him like she does. Like, I don't have anything good to say about him like she does.
Hope do you
and so I was like, what hope do I have in this world if her life looks like this, even though she's a humble, dedicated, committed servant of yours? Yeah. And so that was kind of like how I viewed him in a lot of ways, which is like hard.
For sure.
And especially like because I feel like that was kind of my perception of God too before I came to faith. So when did it happen? Like, you know, I think like some people are like on December 13th, 1965, that's not always a story. Sometimes that is, but when was that moment or moments or season where you came to grasp the gospel?
I love that you said season, because that's really what it was for me.
Yeah.
There was a turning point in my life where I was in rebellion, smoking, drinking, in an inappropriate relationship with a girl, to the point where, I wanted to off myself, you know? I remember I was high one night and just frustrating conversation with my ex-girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time, to the point where I was like, I can't do this no more.
Yeah.
My room's on the second floor. I go out on the roof and I don't know what I was thinking. I knew I was thinking of harming myself.
Right.
But then I remember just praying a prayer. I said, God, if you're real, save me from this. And by the grace of God, I don't remember what happened after that. I just remember I didn't do anything.
Wow.
You know, and again, season, God answered that prayer even further, where my dad came up to me and was like, hey, would you want to go to school in the Philippines? Now, he had his own motives. He was trying to do his own thing. You know, it's a cheaper education. Send my son.
Do you feel called to go to the Philippines?
Exactly. You're the guinea pig, you know. maybe the rest of your older brothers would go to the Philippines. Literally, that's what my dad said. But for me, I took it as, oh, man, that's a clean slate. Like, that's an opportunity for me to just get rid of everything. I was so burdened, and I was like, I'm ready to let it go.
Yeah.
So I said yes. And he sent me. And then your boy is acting a fool again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. I'm 16 years old.
Yeah.
No parental supervision. I'm in college already, technically, according to their standards. And in the Philippines, it's just kind of like, do what you want. So I was...
And change of scenery doesn't change your habits. No. Like, you're still the same person somewhere. And so, I understand.
So... partying, drinking, smoking still. And then the Lord was like, again, season. The Lord was just like, I saved you from this.
Mm.
And my dad, so basically, long story short, the school was like, no, you don't have a high school diploma. If you go to this school, like pay them under the table to give you a diploma. And my dad was like, oh no, we don't do that. So he was like, you're going back to high school. So
you went from college to being back in high school.
Being back in high school. So my dad was like, all right, you're going to go. So my dad and my uncle had a Christian school in my dad's hometown.
Mm.
And that's where I ended up being. And long story short, man, being in that school really opened up my eyes to what it meant to follow Jesus. Like, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And there was a night, and it was probably like a span of two months since moving. And I remember sitting in it was like an office that they made into a bedroom, and I was reading Purpose Driven Life. And there's a page in there though that, man, it said, God, I'm done trying to do my own way and asking you to bless it. Like, I want to live life according to your ways and just do what you're already blessing. And like literally there was no follow the Lord's prayer.
Right.
Jesus, I forgive me of my sins.
Yes,
like, you know?
Yes.
But that really was the moment. I was on my knees. I was weeping. And I wrote it on like a manila paper notepad and just ripped it up, put it on my dresser. And from that moment on, I knew that I was a follower of Jesus. Like, I could die that day. And I was...
And you were certain?
I was certain.
And I think there's like a beauty of, you know, whenever we give our lives to Christ, being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that like there's a certainty that we have in our salvation. Like, I know, like, you know, I said that little camp prayer. No offense if people had gotten saved. Like, I do know that that works. Like, that is part of some people's stories. But like, I think the percentage wise of it, at least for me, is like I said that camp prayer every single camp and it never meant anything to me. Like I just said it because everybody else was around doing it. I was caught up in the emotions of it. And so I felt something different. But there's like a follow up that comes with that act of obedience of like, you know, again, being saved, understanding the gospel that I just didn't have. And so for me, I was a cultural Christian like literally my whole life, like had zero, you know, zero conversations with God. Like, you know, it was always like I was praying like around a bunch of people or like I was involved with a bunch of people, like praying over dinner or praying like kick off youth group or something like that. But I never prayed once, like in my own personal time. And again, my mom was super big on like forcing us to pray, like, you know, like we're all going to get together and pray and have this little like prayer vigil at our house at, like for 4 hours. And I was just like, what the heck is this? And I always fell asleep because it just, again, had no value to me. And then whenever I went to college, I went to a very Christian university, go Pats, but go DBU, hashtag plug. But I was, you know, you can find sin anywhere. Like, you know, it does not matter. I could have lived in the church building and you can find sin anywhere. And so I, you know, still got caught up with the wrong crowds. And like, what's crazy is looking back, I remember specific people that I believe the Lord tasked with pursuing me, like wanting to disciple me, wanting to evangelize to me. And I slammed the door in their face every single time. And there was like, for the mass majority of people, they thought I was a believer, but I wasn't. But the people that knew me closely, or even had like gospel conversations with me, it was evident. They knew, like they knew I had no understanding of what it meant. So I'm grateful to the Lord that he used them, because even though like that, I wasn't obedient to that, like they were still obedient it, you know? And so I'm grateful for that, but things really came to a head. You know, I was basically an alcoholic, was drinking a lot. I smoked a lot, but it wasn't like, I think for me, it was just like pursuing the next thing. Like I was like, I'd really get really into alcohol and then I got bored with it. And then I'd go to smoking and then I got bored with it. And so it's just like, I was always kind of bouncing around, like pursuing something. I knew I was missing something, you know, like I knew life was missing. And then I got into a relationship and it was, and like, it's crazy because looking back, I know that it was not good. But back then I was so, when you don't know love, it's impossible to identify it. You know what I'm saying? And so like the Lord, like I didn't have any self-respect. I didn't know what my value was. I knew I was broken, but I didn't have any answer to that brokenness. I didn't have any reconciliation to that. I didn't know that I was valued by the Lord, that he created me with purpose. Like, and so it's like, whenever you don't have that foundational understanding of who our identity is in Christ and who God's identity is to me, like when you don't have that, like there's no real way to have healthy relationships, you know, like there's no way. And so I got into a relationship and it was not good. And it, by the end of it, when we finally broke up, which I do believe was the Lord's intervention. I remember whenever we broke up, I remember specifically, like, he wasn't a believer. I think he was also a cultural Christian, like we both were. But I remember him saying specifically, like, I feel like the Lord is asking me to do this. And I remember in the moment, I was like, there's no way. Like, I feel like, but now I'm like, I 100% know the Lord rescued me from that relationship. Like, he interceded whenever I wouldn't. And so, but after that breakup, I was like, and then I had some health stuff going on. That's probably a whole different podcast, but basically like I was just broken. Like my heart was broken. My mind was broken. I was in the biggest depression of my life. My body was broken. And so I was like, I felt nothing but darkness and brokenness and pain. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I wasn't. And for me, it was a moment, you know, like I think people, for some people, it's seasons, days. For me, it was a moment. Like I was alone in my room, like lost a ton of weight in a short amount of time because I was so depressed. And I remember, I don't remember even how it happened necessarily, but I remember getting angry with him, with God. And I was yelling at him and I was saying some like terrible things. Like, you know, God can handle your anger. I say this from experience. Like I said some things that like he could have struck me down on the spot without like, you know, with still walking away righteous, but he didn't. So like the Lord can handle your anger. Let me say that. But I remember I was like angry at him and like yelling at him. And I remember he like the Holy Spirit was the one who ministered to me. Yeah. So like I gave my life to Christ, not in a church, not with a pastor, but with the Holy Spirit. Like he met me there and reminded me of truth. And like, and it all started because I started reading through the first seven chapters of Luke, because I'd never read it before and I was bored. And I was like, well, this Bible's here, like might as well touch it. And I read through the first seven chapters and the Lord spoke to me in that scripture. And again, like I never doubted he existed. And so him meeting me there and him comforting me, I think that was the first feeling I got from God was comfort. Like he comforted me. And then again, I hadn't eaten in a long time. And the Lord was like, I don't even remember what I said. I think it was something along the lines of like, okay, like let's do this. Like I'm in it. I think that's what I verbalized, because I didn't know what to actually say. Sure. And he was like, okay, like go eat something. And I went and got Chick-fil-A. the Lord's chicken. That was my first meal. I had Chick-fil-A, and then I came back and slept for the first time in like a long time. And then the next morning he woke me up early. And I remember like it was like being woken up. He wasn't a stranger. Like I already knew him. Like, you know, there was already intimacy there. And I remember he woke me up, and it was crazy because I was like, I'm like someone that I don't see is talking to me. Like, you know, how does that work? But I didn't question it. Like, it was so familiar. And he was like, let's go on a walk. And so I went on my first prayer walk. I didn't even know what it was, but I went on my first prayer walk. And so like, again, like the Lord uses people. Like that's the importance of, you know, once you become a believer, so we have a testimony, we have a story to tell. Sharing our story is so important. And the Holy Spirit still met me, you know, like he had sent so many people before him to like preach to me, to like try and get me to believe in the gospel, to hear the gospel for the first time. And I just slammed the door every single time, but he didn't give up. And there's a beauty in that pursuit that he did in my life specifically. That's crazy.
Good. I love that you were just talking about it. Like, it's like the little seeds, you know, it's the faithfulness of other believers.
Yeah.
Just planting seeds.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, the word of God doesn't return void.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
And yes, maybe in the moment when you gave your life to Jesus, it was just the Holy Spirit, but it was the testimony of those believers. Yeah. It was that faithfulness of planting that seed that ultimately led to a point.
Right.
Where,
and you never know when that fruit is going to like sprout forth. Yeah. Like, but it doesn't do nothing. Like, I went to Passion 4 years before I gave my life to Christ. And I heard this preacher there.
By the way, Passion, maybe they don't know what Passion is.
Oh, Passion. Thank you. Passion is like this, like, I don't even know how to explain, but it's like a college conference where they usually have like a ton of like worship leaders there, to where like they have times of worship, they have breakout sessions, they have like a prominent speaker speak the gospel every night. And so like I hadn't been before, and my roommate and I went, and I just went because I was like, I've never been to Houston, like that'll be fun. And so we went, and I don't remember most of that Passion because again I didn't care, like I just you know was there and kind of in one ear out the other. But there was this one speaker that I remember really liking him. And I was like, he's funny. He's sarcastic. He has an inhaler. Like asthmatics unite. Like I had asthma back then. It's kind of chilled out a lot. But anyways, and so I really liked him. And he spoke like a lot of truth. But again, I didn't care at the time. But it still planted. Like that seed was planted. Yeah. And then after I gave my life to Christ and was like looking for discipleship, the Lord reminded me of him. And I started listening to all his podcasts. Turns out he's a lead pastor at a mega church in Montana. Wow. And I started listening to all of his podcasts, started reading all of his books. And like, that was really my first introduction to discipleship, because I gave my life to Christ like right before COVID. And so it's like quarantine hit, but the Lord always made sure, like he discipled me so much himself. Amen. And the Lord always made sure I had access to others to disciple me, whether or not it was virtual.
For sure.
Which was such a blessing in like such a digital world now too.
Which, plug, you know what I'm saying? We got an online ministry here at the church. I'm the online pastor here. Like, man, praise God how he's using this ministry to connect people from all over the world. And I love that you're just mentioning that right now, because I think, Sorry, this is like an aside to what we're talking about. But I just feel like sometimes, and this is what I remind our online community all the time, is just because we're experiencing this digitally, You know, when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm giving them resources, when I'm discipling them, when I'm praying with them, like we're doing it digitally. I'm here in this room, you're in a different location. Even though it's digital, doesn't make it any less real, you know?
Right.
I'm a real person here in Texas. You're a real person there in Kenya.
The prayers are real.
Exactly.
The scripture is real.
The scripture is real. Yeah, Our God is real.
Yes, I agree.
And so I love that you mentioned that because that's why we're doing this podcast.
Right, 100%, 100%. And like, again, like we both grew up in the church. I grew up in the church. Church hurt is common. So real. And so I had a lot of church hurt because I felt like, you know, I don't feel like I, and it has, again, like, I don't want to necessarily speak ill of that church. Like, I think it was so, it did bless me in so many ways, but I don't feel like I ever heard the gospel. And that was probably a combination of things, but I 100% do think that even if they did speak the gospel, I would have slammed the door in my face. But like, I didn't ever feel like I fully heard the gospel until the Holy Spirit himself spoke it to me. And so, but like, again, walking into a church after living, you know, 24 years away from God and feeling shame that I still hadn't allowed God to heal me from or break me free from. And, it was hard, like imagining myself walking into a church and like, you know, having to like, and like I
navigate that.
And then also like sharing my testimony was super triggering for me the first couple of years, because I was like, there are certain things that I have a hard time speaking about. And then there's other stuff that like, every time I've shared this with someone, I've gotten judged. And so it's like walking into a church was super hard, but the Lord, again, in his faithfulness, like I got, I started listening to, again, all of Levi Lesko's podcast, and then reading all of his books, and the Lord truly discipled me so much in that season. But I remember I caught up to date of the podcast where like I would have to wait like 2 weeks before the next one. And the last podcast he talked about was the importance of like being in community. And so the Lord did so much in that season with me being digitally discipled. And then after that, I felt prompted to pursue physical disciple, like community in person, like having a fellow body of believers to like be accountable to, like share, share my struggles with, you know, have them pray for me and pray against the enemy's work in my life. And so, and so, I mean, just again, like he's a genius. Like I like thinking about it. I'm like, man, like he knows what he's doing, He's awesome.
Look at God.
So again, like I kind of talked about my early days of discipleship. Sure. What did that look like for you?
Yeah.
After you put up that book and you're like, all right, sealed with Christ.
Yeah. No, my dad actually went to come and live with me in the Philippines for 6 solid months. Now I say 6 months because it's a nice round off. I really don't remember how many months it was, but it was about 6 months. It was like the rest of my time in high school, and literally like discipled me.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting, right? Because I knew who my dad was growing up. Yeah. He's a pastor and, you know, he's busy. He's taking care of the church. But never, and I love you, Dad. If you're watching this, you're more than likely going to watch this, you know? But for 16 years of my life, I never felt, or maybe I just don't remember, the times where my dad would be so intentional with me and walk me through scripture and teach me the Bible and what does it mean to serve Jesus? What does it mean to love
him? How do you read the Bible?
How to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And then in those 6 months, literally every day, wake me up, 5:30, we read scripture together. He's teaching me like basic Bible hermeneutics, like what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean for you? How to apply it in your life? Like teaching me ministry by actually just doing it. Like I had no idea.
That's powerful. Yeah.
Like he would take me up to the mountains and we'd be doing like VBS or Bible studies or feedings and literally preaching to like street children. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is also in a different language that I barely know.
Yeah, but you saw like, the action.
I saw it.
Yeah.
And he just threw me into it. And it's like, the Spirit guided me through all of it. But that was really my discipleship experience. Was immediately, my dad was just like, all right, I'm gonna walk you through what it means to follow Jesus.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I got discipled, and then I felt the Lord prompting me to seek physical, and I church hopped a few times. And I remember I sent up, like, I was getting, like, discouraged, and also, like, losing, like, steam to, like, keep on church hopping. And I prayed to the Lord, and it wasn't, like, a, you know, 2-hour message, like, or prayer. It was, like, a text message prayer. Like, I literally shot one up, and I was like, bro, like, God, like, I need a church. Like, if you're asking me to find a church, will you help me find one? I went to work the next day, and this girl that I worked with, she was like, hey, like, I'm not a member at a church here, but every now and then when I'm in town, I'll visit this church in Arlington. It's called Fielder. Mm-hmm. You should come with me. And that's how I got connected to the church, was like by the Lord's faithfulness and answering that prayer. And so it's just like, that I feel like I've learned so much. You know, I've been discipled, I've been shepherded, I've been taught the tools of the trade, you know, while coming here in that season, just because, again, the Lord's faithfulness and like answering, you know, when scripture talks about like when we seek him, we find him. And really seeking, being intentional, like, Lord, like, I believe you're asking me to do this, like, help me, like, how do I do this? And so I feel like I've just really learned so much of that through Fielder.
Yeah. Praise God for the church.
Praise God for the church. Another plug.
The plug.
Again, like we talk about, once we come to faith, like we're shedding of the old, dying to self, and rising up again with Christ. And so, kind of like, what did that shedding process look like to you? Yeah. And like, are there qualities that you have now that you know were like from God from the beginning, even though you weren't using them for that? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Sure.
So like, kind of what did that shedding, molding process look like?
Dang, okay, yeah, no, I have.
I'm so ready for this.
No, I'm, as soon as you started talking about it, it's like, I already have a way. You know, I was talking a lot about like the things that I got into, but man, growing up, like I always heard, like, Zer, you're always so good at everything. Like genuinely, I just, Zer, you're always good at dancing. You're always good at video games. You're always good at school. Like I was a straight A student. You're always like, you're always good. And for me, it was just prideful.
Yeah.
You know, because you hear it all the time. It's like, oh yeah, I don't.
You're right.
Yeah. I didn't study for that test. I still got an A. I slept all semester. I still got an A. You know what I'm saying? I don't even got to try really hard. Yeah, I'm a dope
boy. Oh, you stayed up all night? Sucks to suck.
No. That really was like my thought patterns. And like, here's the thing. Here's the reality. None of that really has changed since I came to know Jesus.
Mm.
I'll just be honest. People come to me and be like, man, Zer, you're so good at preaching. Oh, Zer, you're so good at shepherding.
Yeah.
And it's like. Oh,
and man. You're still a great dancer.
Oh, man.
I've seen him head spin at birthday parties, bro. Like, he's great.
But, you know, things like that. But then I'm just reminded, though, that like any good in me.
Mm.
His only God, you know what I'm
saying? Brother, preach. That what? Is, yes, yes, oh, yes. Man. Like, and I think about, there's this passage in Kings. So first of all, 1st and 2nd Kings are like probably some of my favorite books in the Bible. There's so much like richness in there.
Gold.
Yeah, there's so much gold in those books. But so there's a passage, and I kind of was reading a commentary about it. And it was talking about how there was a passage that Saul, King Saul, for those of you guys who don't know, he was like a king appointed by God, but then he kind of started taking things into his own hands, and the Lord appointed King David, who would rule after him. But King Saul heard about it and was really upset and really bitter, kind of trying to kill David, a whole thing. You should go read it. It's a whole thing. Drama. But basically, there's a scripture talking about how King Saul, whenever he was like walking in disobedience, like he was prophesying on the way to like going to a place. And I remember reading the commentary about it, and the commentary was talking about how all spiritual gifts are from God. And so I, growing up and even in college and high school, all that, people would always talk about, man, you're so wise. Like, you have some like really good snippets of wisdom, bro.
Yeah.
And like, they would always talk about that. And I remember always, like, I never accepted compliments. Like, I had such a hard time with them, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you want? Like, that was my immediate, like, suspicious. Like, why are you complimenting me? ¿Qué quieres? Like, what do you want? But I remember hearing that a lot, and even in college, and just, like, you're so wise. Mm-hmm. You're so wise. And to be completely honest with you, I don't know where that came from. You know, I never knew where that came from. I just thought it was common sense. So I was like, whoa, obviously. But now that I've become a believer and like grown in, you know, just my discipling, like I've come to understand that that's a spiritual gift. Like that's a gift from the Spirit, is the gift of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And whereas before I had it, I just wasn't using it for the glory of God. Whereas now I do, I maintained it and it's been refined and even more purified to use for the purposes of God. Am I the wisest person in the world? No, like I still mess up a lot. I'm still dumb and ignorant in a lot of ways. Like that's just human nature. But there is a wisdom that the Lord has gifted me with in scenarios and like that I'm able to share with others. That's just like, it's still me. Like it's still part of me. Like I still love Netflix. Like, you know, like I still love music. So like, I think just, I feel like there's that stigma of like, when you give your life to Christ and you wear like those long denim skirts and like, you're like,
you gotta, you know, dress,
you gotta dress up in a tux every Sunday. Exactly. Like, no, like we're still broken vessels that have been saved by the glory of God. And like, to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, we're still busted. And like, there's, that's another podcast that I want us to do is like the hypocrisy of Christians. Like, you know, like I think we all have walked into a church and felt judged or like church hurt or something like that. But the other, I heard Levi Lesko say this one time about how the church isn't a museum for perfect people. It's a hospital for broken people, you know? And so it's like, we are where we are, you know, set apart. We are saints for the kingdom of God. Like we are ministers of the gospel, but we're still broken sinners, you know, like, and we have to rely on the grace of God more so every single day. And there's just like there's a dichotomy to that, you know, that's confusing sometimes, but yeah, it's definitely still something to think about and think through.
For sure.
But, and then I have, I had another question about, so like, whenever you gave your life to Christ, was there a specific hurdle that was particularly difficult to get past?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I have my answer if you need more time to
think. Yeah, no, let's what do you got?
So I, for me, I think it's shame was really hard. And I thought that shame was like, I don't know, I thought it was isolated. Like, oh, I just feel guilty. Like, oh, I just feel shame about this. But I think shame for me ties a lot back to my identity.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, I still feel shame over the things that I've done in the past or I did in the past that the Lord has washed clean by the blood of Christ. You know, like I am redeemed. There's grace. I have been reconciled to the Father. And so like, I still feel like I would carry shame for it. And I think a lot of that just kind of comes to like anything, like the gospel plus anything isn't the gospel. You know, like if you try and add anything to the gospel, like that or subtract, like you're adding works. And so for me, it was always like, yes, like I'm saved by the love of God, that it is not a gift, like it's not a doing of my own. It is a gift from God, like that kind of thing. But I'd always be like, but I still need to kind of feel shame over these things over here. But then just coming to terms with that, I feel like that kind of has been more exposed now that I've like even been in a relationship of just like that. I forget my value so often. Like, you know, I just forget because I still look at my identity through the lens of the past or what I've done. But I am not the sum of my actions. I am a daughter that has been set aside like for Christ. Like, you know,
you're the sum of Christ's actions. Oh, dang.
Wait, but anyways, so yeah, just like that, that concept of how, you know, kind of really living in my identity as a daughter who is loved, who is seen, who is known by the Father. Like, you know, when you think about that practically, like, you know, God created the universe, like the planets, the solar system, the world, like, you know, and he knows my name. He knows me by name. He pursues a relationship with me. Like he's intentional about pursuing me. He knows Zer's. He knows Zer's name. He knows, you know, his children's names. Like he knows us deeply and wants to, like he's the one that knows us the most.
For sure.
And even through knowing my darkest secrets, the sin that I've committed, like every brokenness inside me, even though he knows all that better than anybody, because I can hide it from everybody. But he sees all things. And even though he's seen the worst of the worst, he still pursued me. And he still sent, like, he still sent his son for me, like, to die on the cross, to pay the price of my sin. And so it's like, my sin has been paid. Like, I don't need to continue to, like, try and tax it on myself. So
no,
I think that's something that I still am, like, wrestling with.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because the reality is God accepts us, but not because of any good in us. He accepts us based on what Christ has done for us.
He sees Christ in us.
Exactly. He sees Christ in us. And he loves us too much to leave us the way
yes,
we are.
Yes, I love that, you know, quote. Yes, saying? Yes, yes.
Like, yes, God accepts you as you are.
Yeah.
But he loves you too much to
let you stay,
yes, how you yes. are. And like for me, when you're talking about what is that biggest hurdle, or it's like, man, I'm still in it, because even there's redemption in Christ.
Right.
But like, now that I'm thinking about it, when I grew up, like, it really was approval. I wanted the approval of my peers. I wanted the approval of
my dad. So it's like fear of rejection too.
Fear of rejection. Yeah, yeah. It was just like constantly seeking approval. And even now as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's like, I just have to remind myself. It's always coming back to the feet of Jesus and reminding myself that I've already been approved by God because of Christ. And so now operate from that. But you know, so often I fall into my own tendency of just, man, when I'm preaching, what does Pastor Jason think about this?
Yeah.
You know, when you know, ministering to people, man, what are they going to think of me? Am I going to gain their approval? So it's a constant battle where it's like, man, no, Lord, let me, please, in the name of Jesus, let me operate from your approval of me.
And what you've already spoken over
me. Already spoken.
And I think that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, is like, this isn't a gospel that we're waiting to happen. Yeah, you know, like you think of like in the Old Testament, like the Israelites, like, they had heard of the Messiah coming, but they were anticipating it. Yeah. We're on the other side of that, bro. Like, we have the luxury of like having like read about it, being spoken, see, like maybe not seeing it with our own eyes, but like seeing it come to pass and experiencing the freedom that Christ has. Like, we don't have to wait on a promise. Like, he has already completed and fulfilled the promise. And so, I mean, it's just like a beautiful thing. And it's like a constant recommitting to like, I believe, help me, I disbelief, like, you know, just recommitting to the identity that the Lord has spoken over us already and has already paid for it. It's done. Like, it's a done deal.
Done.
And also recommitting to what I know he is in my life. Like, is he, you know, is he the one that I'm following? Is he the one that I'm pursuing? And when he's not, I can recommit to that and be like, Lord, forgive me. I repent of taking my eyes off of you. Take your position back. And so, yeah, there's just a beauty in that.
Dang. This was good.
Praise God. Praise the Lord, man. He's so good. Okay.
I love it.
So we're so glad that you guys are here.
Seriously.
We hope that you, that this kind of blessed you a little bit. We'll keep going on some more topics. You know, I kind of talked a little bit about them, about like, is the Bible really trustworthy? The hypocrisy of Christians. Wrestling with, is God actually good? You know, an honest conversation about the goodness of God. And so it's just like all these topics, all these things that we want to talk to you guys about. So we hope that you guys will come back and keep listening to us, and we'll have some more guests. If you have any questions, feel free to email them to info@fielder.org, and we'll address them as we can. So thanks, guys, for listening. We hope we'll see you next time. Peace.